unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Oh, we still didn't peak, so it's good.
I'm Jacob Lindberg, and I'm here with Brian Courtney and Chaz Jenkins, and this is the flagship episode of Unwarranted Music Opinions, where we each choose a single album, one that the other two preferably have not heard or are very unfamiliar with, and we force each other to listen to it intently several times over the course of a week or two. And then we all gather here to yell at each other and curse at each other sometimes, and just express our opinions in an organic and untethered kind of way. So we've chosen three albums. I think we're going to start with mine. It's the 1983 hardcore punk Minutemen album, What Makes a Man Start Fires. And Minutemen are kind of one of the staple hardcore punk bands. They're known for infusing a lot of different other genres into their music, like funk and jazz, and it really comes through in their instrumentation. They're most well known for their album that came out the year after this one, Double Nickels on the Dime, which is a double album. It's like 75 minutes long, four sides, and a very, very ambitious release. But I specifically chose What Makes a Man Start Fires, their 1983 release, because it's only 25 minutes long, it's 18 tracks, and I figured it would be a very good introduction to their music without making you sift through 40-something songs on double nickels. So I guess we'll go ahead and start with Chaz. What did you think about Minutemen?
Well, let's start off with what I really, like, my favorite thing about this album is the bass work. The bass on this album is pretty damn phenomenal.
It's Mike Watt, who's the bassist.
Well, Mike Watt killed. And the drums are great, too. They both really add to the energy of this album. This album reminds me if Primus was a punk band. That's how I would describe the instrumentation. The bass is all over the place. But then that leads me to one of the things I really didn't like about this album was the guitar work.
Really?
It was so underwhelming. I don't want to say it was bad. It was really good, but just when you compare it to the bass and drum work, it's like the guitar guy was asleep for this
record. Oh, man.
I'm sorry, but like...
You don't like D. Boone's guitar.
Okay. It's okay. I disagree with you too, actually, on that.
Good.
Really?
Good.
Well, that is until the last track, Polarity, where the guitar just comes in and, like, shredded. I'm like, where was this through the whole album? I don't know. I just didn't... I think the biggest problem for me was the sound. When I like punk, I love stuff like Bad Religion, Ramones, bands like that that have melody and something I can sing along to. I can't sing along to any of these tracks.
Yeah, these are heady experiences for sure, these songs. And I'll get into it a little bit when I talk about this album. But just to give a little bit of background, D. Boone's guitar tone, specifically, he chose to make it not distorted. So it, very, very clear, kind of metallic in tone, so where it doesn't distort and you can hear pretty much every single note. And that's very different than a lot of the other punk bands that you mentioned where it's straightforward, power chords, punchy. D. Boone is very much influenced more by classic rock and jazz.
Compared to other punk bands at around this time, and this was like the core time of underground punk bands rising, like getting
the early 80s.
Surfacing. The production on this album is some of the best.
Yeah,
when it comes
great
to punk bands from this time, it's pretty solid. Drums are crisp, bass, like the mixing is nice. So why the hell can't I understand a single thing the singer is saying? I already knew going into this that the lyrics were going to be some thought-provoking, kick it to the man kind of stuff.
Kick it to the man.
I can't understand this guy through 90% of the album. I'm just, what are you saying? Speak, enunciate your words, man.
Actually, like that. That's one of the qualities of the album I really enjoyed. Was very like unapologetic like delivery.
That's fine, but if you're trying to say a message, I need to understand what you're saying, dude.
But I don't have much of an issue understanding D. Boone, but I can kind of see how his vocals would be grating or off-putting to some listeners.
I don't see him as grating. I did have to
read along as I read, but I did that mostly because I didn't even really attempt to listen to the lyrics on my own. I wanted to read because I knew it was going to be some really cryptic stuff, so I wanted to understand what I was hearing clearly and like read along as I go to get the cadence along with what was being said. So that's I was reading along to most of these.
I will say though, I like how the album flows. Each song kind of goes into mm-hmm. each other. The problem with that though. So I already mentioned that I'm not a fan of the sound. This is like that true punk sound, which I can respect it for, but just, I'm not a fan of that.
I don't know if I'd call it the true punk sound, though, because they got a lot of other
fast
stuff
drums
in there.
And, like...
You can't...
It's just a very... I guess I'd call this album a very dense musical experience.
Yes,
there's so much going on, and, like, you have these one and a half minute tracks that have, like, 3-4 different parts to them. They're not these, like, minute-long punk tracks that are just, you know, verse, chorus, done.
Yeah.
There's some, like, strange bridges going on. It can be kind of hard to follow.
It's a barrage, and they don't lend themselves to, they're not trying to make a catchy song, and they're not trying to make something that's a tune or something, you know, you play in the car while you go around. Like, they want you to listen to what they're saying. They want you to have to listen through the sound.
That's a really good point, Brian, and actually, I was reading a book about indie rock. 80s. And there's a section on the Minutemen, and they're quoted in that book as to part of the reason why they wrote such short songs is because they wanted you to have to pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. They wanted you to not be able to really listen to this casually. You pretty much have to like listen very intently and have that almost be the only thing you're doing, because they didn't want you to miss anything. You really have to pay attention to this, or stuff is just going to pass you by.
It's pretty smart, because you'll miss a lot if you're not listening. And when you're listening as a whole experience, I actually never sat through this all the way. I had to listen to it a half and half, because it's very short, but it feels much longer than it is.
Very dense.
That's
very true.
With how much is being delivered to you, how quickly it's being delivered to you, and how abrasively. I really like this record. My only complaint is the brevity of the song. It also works against the songs. It works against the memorability of the songs, because there's a lot of great things being said on this album, but I found myself consistently having to reference the songs like on websites to find the lyrics that I found very provoking, but I couldn't remember what song they came from. There's very few songs on here for me stick out from one another sonically. And that was the only thing that I think worked against the album, and maybe worked against its length, is because it's only 26 minutes. But it's 26 minutes of... There's only one track on here over 2 minutes. You know what I mean? The Anchor. Yeah. And like...
That's one of my favorite tracks.
And I was looking forward
to it. It's actually not one of my favorite songs.
Well, because it has actual melody.
It does. Well, look at the very next track, Seller Be Sold, which in my mind is one of the best songs on the album. It's one of the catchiest. It's like a pop rock song. It's one of the only songs with rhythm guitar.
I was going back on what Brian was talking about. Like, my least favorite song has got to be Beacon Sighted Through Fog. It's too weird. And I know that's strange coming from me, but like...
That's a great track, man. That's a really good track.
I figured like coming in this...
It's definitely one of the more abstract songs on the album.
And that's what I'm saying, like, this type of sound I've never been a fan of, but I can really respect it because it's just that raw energy, and it's there, and it's... And it, just the way it flows, like, it never stops.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish there were just a few little... And there are, like, one chapter in the book. There's a couple moments in the song where I'm, like, humming along where I can... There's
Bob Dylan wrote propaganda songs, has a very, very memorable hook.
Now, every song in this I can headbang to. Like, this is the kind of album where if I was experiencing live in a concert setting, I could care less. I would just... But now that I'm forced to sit and listen to it, I'm like, I just wish I could. It wasn't so weird. I don't know.
So you mentioned the weirdness, and you mentioned Beacon Sighted Through Fog, which isn't one of my absolute favorites, but I'm just going to come out and say it. No song in this album to me is less than like a 7 out of 10. I don't think there's any song on here that is just good. I think pretty much every song in here is very good to great. But I'll mention the back half of the album, which I think has a little more of that weirdness. It has... I guess almost noise rock guitar. Like, it sounds like early Sonic Youth, and I love that about this album. One of my favorite songs on here is Split Red, which is like 50 something minutes long, little jazz bass, with like vocals about
the
fascism.
Bass is, the bass
and then just
killer.
The noisy screechy.
With that.
Yeah,
oh,
I love how noisy
that.
It gets.
I fell in love
so
with that track instantly.
Plight also has some really, really great, like, frenetic, just anxious guitar playing. This is where I love D. Boone's guitar playing, because you said it isn't straightforward, it isn't going to be this catchy riffs, but he just goes all over the place with, like, noise rock and jazz and funk, and you can hear, of course, his idea about the tone. You can hear every single note he's playing. He just goes wild with it. It's very expressive playing.
I don't know, but it just, compared to the intensity and just solid work with the bass and drums, it feels like it shouldn't be there. Does that make sense?
I guess...
And if that's the point they're going for, then by all means, more power to
it. That is the point they're going for, and I think the opinion that you have is one that there are a lot of hardcore and punk purists back in the day thought about the Minutemen.
They were probably like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Well, when you think about hardcore punk, just to give some more background on the band, Minutemen were these three nerdy guys who met in grade school who first started playing music because their moms bought them to guitars so that they wouldn't get in trouble, so that like they'd have something to
mom.
Do. And
like
that whole, yes, I mean, their whole story is one of the most wholesome stories in music you can think of.
I want to talk about their story, though. I was looking for their lead singer. That's tragic.
Yeah, very much
killed
so.
Killed in the car accident, you know?
Yeah, nothing, just, no drugs involved, just a,
what do they call
just
it?
An accident.
It was like just a John Doe, you know what I mean? Like a very abrupt, uneventful death, you know what I mean?
That was
a guy who made some really compelling music, 1985,
I think.
I want to say.
You
the year after Double Nickels.
How every song in this is like at least a 7 out of 10 for you. Well, that's my opinion on the lyrical side.
Mm.
These, like...
1,000%, which has
this,
said.
Yeah, I
like,
agree.
This morning, the wind blew its glass to my face. Real morning with pluses and minuses. My symbol for truth. I don't know what the hell that means, but I know it's deep. And I was like, word, man, word.
Well, I'm talking about the lyrics here. Fake contest.
Oh my God, you took my reference.
I love it because...
Jacob Lindberg.
I basically interpret that song as saying, trying to put yourself out there, trying to be as individualistic as possible and wear all these clothes and have all these things. It's a fake contest because, like he says, when we're naked on the pavement, we're all the same.
I love when punk bands go out of the way to critique the scene. That's one of my favorite subjects in punk, because
that's so punk.
There are some really great songs.
I didn't even catch that. Yeah, but the, you're right. They're definitely talking about the conformity within the punk.
We talked a little bit off the show about Against Me, and we're probably gonna listen to one of their albums in the future. Depending on where the show goes, mm-hmm. There's a great song by them called "I Still Love You, Julie." That is one of the most like biting critiques on punk music. It's great. We'll get to that eventually. But I want to talk about the lyrics on that.
Another one, you mentioned The Anchor, one of my favorite songs. Five beautiful girls robbed me. I was so damn bad. I took them on one at a time. Like,
I can't see...
Poor dude. Like, I don't know what's going on in his life, but that's true. That's sad.
The latter half of that track has more compelling lyrics than me. The Anchor's not one of my... I don't really have a least favorite on here. I just find a lot of the songs to be...
If I had to pick my favorite song of the album, it'd definitely be The Anchor.
I disagree. I think a lot of people choose The Anchor as one of their favorites. I think it's because it's the longest.
It's the most song-like.
To me, musically...
You know?
Yes, that
I think it has the least interesting musical ideas. Like, you know, it doesn't have that noisy jazziness. It doesn't have that funkiness, really, that some of the other songs have.
Mm-hmm. I love the aggression on the lyrics of Split Red. Or, I'm sorry, I love the... metaphor he's doing on The Only Minority. Sorry, that was what I had.
Oh, right, yeah.
When he's talking about, you know, he's, you know, not black or white, not brown or yellow, saying that, I believe he's making the only, I think what he's saying in this song is that the only minority is like the citizen, because he's saying things like, they own the land, we work the land, we fight their wars.
I thought he was saying that the true minority were the elite.
Oh, because there's, oh, okay, that would actually make more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense.
Like those who are in charge of everything are the smallest, you know, group of people.
And then on Colors as well. Colors is one of my, like, it's a more sleepy track in terms of how much I enjoy it.
Yeah, but I love, I actually wrote down, this one is one of the most interesting from a songwriting perspective, I think.
Right.
Obviously, it's very short, but it's got very distinct verses and choruses that sound very different. And then that shift in the middle of a song
right.
to, like, this kind of atmospheric guitar tone, this kind of mysterious sounding part of the song. I think it's very ambitious songwriting for such a short track, and I think you can see that throughout the entirety of the album, where they just you know, turn on a dime and yet stay cohesive.
No, Nickel's on the dime.
I feel like I'm the only one, though, here. You guys would probably disagree with me, but, like, is it just me or just a lot of sounds sound the same, though?
I agree, and that'd be my main criticism of it. You know, like, Double Nickels is commonly cited as their best album, and I would agree with that because Double Nickels has... like acoustic tracks, it's got a couple live cuts.
It's got variety.
It definitely has a ton of variety. It's 75 minute songs, like 40 something tracks.
You can't have a 75 minute album without
it. Doesn't
variety.
All sound
you can't
like
do
this.
That.
No,
but the song lengths are still short to my knowledge. I haven't listened to that album, but it was suggested by a friend.
Fairly short.
Yeah, you know,
fairly short.
I think the strongest thing about this album,
I'd say,
is the lyrics. It's obviously the lyrics, in my opinion. I love some of the very
lyrics, bass, and drum. Like for me, that does it.
I do like the percussion a lot on this. I think the drummer's fantastic. I love a lot of the odd compositions on here. Just the things that work against this album the most are it feels longer than it is because of how much it's being thrown at you, mm-hmm. but I can see why the band chose that direction. I like a lot of the songs on here, but I'm not listening to them outside of the context. I'm not listening to them on their own. You know what I mean? If I want to listen to these songs, I want to hear everything else that comes with them, or like what came right before, because I know it's a like relentless transition right into the next one. Mm-hmm. And it kind of provides me a little more context than when I just start it, and it blows by in a minute. So I guess my issues are song length. The length of the record itself feels a little longer than it is. I guess I would say it doesn't overstay its welcome, but it gets in,
says what it wants to say, and gets out.
But it feels like it takes a long time to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it's only 26 minutes. Other than that, I love the lyrics. I love the delivery on this album. I love the energy this album brings. I love what it's saying, even though if a lot of the times the lyrics are too cryptic for me to tell.
The strongest thing is how produced this album is. Compared to other like debut or punk albums.
Well, it's not a debut album, but...
I know it's not a debut.
You're right when you compare it to...
Like Bad Religion's debut. The production of that is pretty
80s
bad.
Punk, 80s indie in
so
general.
For an album like this to come out in 1982 with production of this level is pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
It is, and I'll go along with what Brian said. I do think... And what you said. Both of your all's main criticisms, I think, would be mine as well. However... I've probably heard this album 10, 11 times now, and I gotta say, the more I listen to it, the more, you know, I'll start a song and I'll immediately remember all of what goes on in the song. It just needs deceptively more listens than you think because of all of the different ideas and how densely packed it is with musical ideas.
But that was Brian's point, like, that's not technically good.
I
shouldn't be
what
forced
I'm saying
to listen
is it,
to it.
What I'm saying is it's
time.
A grower.
I don't mind that. I don't mind having to listen to it multiple times.
Well, I do because I'm not a fan of the sound, so to be forced to have
right.
to get the
well,
message,
you,
I'm kind of already at a
well, for me,
a disadvantage.
I absolutely love, I think my favorite
oh,
thing
this
about
sounds great. As soon as you recommend it, I was like, this is Jacob Lindberg all the way.
The instrumentation, and that includes the guitar that every, like, just the fact that it's three guys and they've got so many different influences and it all comes together in such a creative way. They're always playing just these creative licks and bass lines and percussive elements. And it just, it's such an interesting release that every time I listen to it, you hear like a new little thing that you didn't really quite catch.
Would you say it was ahead of its time? I get that feeling.
Yeah, it is. Because some people consider this to be a post-hardcore record. And it kind of is. Like, you can see this sound coming in the 90s.
It's not as hardcore, and like you said, the guitar isn't distorted.
Right.
That's, like, already against hardcore. You gotta have distortion.
Well, it's post-hardcore, meaning they're taking the basis of what hardcore punk was doing at the time and just doing whatever the hell they wanted with it. And taking it in new directions, which I think is a really, really interesting sound to hear, especially for 1983. Now, I will say you're right in that there aren't really that many tracks that you come back to outside of the album. For me, that's not really a problem because I listen to albums.
I'm a singles guy more than an album guy.
I'm an album listener, so, you know, a 25-minute Minutemen album, I mean, it is short and sweet, and I would say this, for me... is like a very solid 8 out of 10. Where there aren't those absolute track highlights that elevate it to the next level, but it's an album that every time it's on, I'm enjoying it all the way through and discovering new things about it.
For me, wonderful lyrics, fantastic production with just killer bass and drums. However, with so much thrown at you and having to really listen to it, not being a fan of the sound really... draws it back for me, and the guitar. I'm a guitar guy, so for the bass and drum to just kick the guitar's ass, it just disappointed me. I was kind of disappointed, but I can respect for what this album is doing, and I'm not trashing that at all. Like I said, the lyrics do it for me, but the fact that I have to really look into them, and the fact that I can't hear the singer, so I don't even know what he's saying, I'm gonna have to give this album a 6 out of 10. It's not for me. I'm not the audience for this member.
I think the lyrics on this thing are super great, super poetic. I love even when they're dipping into abstract and cryptic territory. Instrumentally, I mean, it's more or less flawless. There's not a single track on here that isn't well produced, that is uninteresting for any extended amount of time. My only problem for me stems again from song length, and one breath I dislike it, but I appreciate it because I understand what they're going for. I think it works really well for the album as a whole. As a like total album, I don't love this thing, but I think it's really good. So I'd give it a 7. I can't see myself revisiting it, but I can see myself going into Minutemen's discography more.
Oh yeah, I'll agree with that.
If you enjoy this album, check out Double Nickels. It's an even longer, even more densely packed album that will probably take you even longer to fully appreciate. However, it's got those song highlights that you're probably going to be coming back to, just the individual tracks. Mm-hmm. Vietnam, number one hit song, History Lesson Part 2. All of those are classic Minutemen tunes, so I think you won't be disappointed if you check out the rest of their discography. Even the earlier stuff, there's an album before this, 1981's The Punchline, which is like 15 minutes long.
So the next album we're talking about is from this year. It's Nicki Minaj's new album, Queen. It's the new album from Nicki Minaj, pop sensation. She's had two albums previously reached the number one spot, Pink Print, I believe, being the most recent one. And chart-topping singles such as Barbie Tings and Chun-Li, Chun-Li is included on this record, Barbie Tings is not. She's signed to Young Money, a label notorious, I would say around 10 years ago, for having huge posse tracks back in like the posse era of rap when we had these huge tracks like Bedrock coming out or,
Call me Mr. Flintstone. I can make a better rap.
That song's a banger. I don't care what anyone says. I like that song. It's like 8 minutes, though. But I wanted to do her new release, so I was curious to see where Nicki's sound came in the modern day, because I was a fan back in the day. I enjoyed some of her singles. I enjoyed some of her features on songs. Her most famous one being off of Kanye West's My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy on the song Monster. I liked some of the features she did on... there was a song... It was hit back in the day. I can't remember who wrote it, but she did this... sort of like Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger inspired, like visual in the music video, and the verse is pretty good too. I can't remember what song that is.
I don't know.
Yeah, but she's most known for her features. She's not really an album artist, but my curiosity got the better of me when this album dropped, and I wanted to hear it, and I wanted to force you all to listen to it.
All right, Jacob, do you want to kick this off for me?
Okay. Now.
So did you like it?
I disliked it. But I didn't hate it, and I thought there was some stuff to like on here.
You know, I'll give you that. The first three tracks are the best thing about this album.
So, I think the quality is kind of sporadic. So I'll, right. Just to start off, Nicki Minaj has always been an artist that I thought has more potential than she actually utilizes her records.
Yes, exactly.
Like, her Monster feature, you know, you hear that, and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait for her to drop her debut. And then she does, and you're like, wow. And then she drops another album, and it's Pink Friday, Roman Roulette. Oh, God, no. And so finally she's coming out with this album, Queen. And like pretty much all of her albums, you know, you got to go into it hoping. You go into it holding, like crossing your fingers, hoping that she's going to show her technical ability and her energy and her rapping. And when she does that on this album, there are some good tracks. There's even like one or two great tracks where she is like going for it and actually really showing off her ability. However, it's over an hour long. It's bogged down by a lot of different attempts at a lot of different musical styles that don't really work. Almost every feature, I think every feature except for one on this album, I disliked.
I disagree.
I think pretty much one feature added something.
What was the one feature?
The last feature on the album. It was Foxy Brown.
All right.
On Coco Chanel.
I disagree with you. I think all the features, when you know who the artists are that are featuring, we're pretty okay. Except Lil Wayne.
I thought
that feature was atrocious.
It was. It was horrible.
This man said, Lil Mama says she only on a rich face and tell her now you're looking rich, bitch. And I heard that, I was like, you almost died from an overdose of Xanax. Like,
okay, so I like that verse.
I think
I actually love that verse, and maybe for the wrong reasons. I thought
Lil Wayne musically. I thought pretty much every feature on this album musically, except for Foxy Brown, was just. And you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not the kind of person who's like, auto-tune is always a bad thing. I think it can be, is a musical tool, not more than a crutch nowadays at least, that can be used for interesting effects. Mm-hmm. Sway Lee on Shun Sway.
I think it's Swally. But...
Swally. That was horrible. That was the worst. I thought that song
pretty unbearable.
Was horrible.
What was he even talking about?
It was awful. And The Weeknd, I hate The Weeknd. I hate
really?
The so much on this album, and in general, just the vocals.
I thought Weeknd was pretty much as under my radar as he usually is on this album. I could take him or leave him.
I don't even know. This album is so boring.
It is.
There's so much filler. This album does not need to be an hour long.
It doesn't.
Because there's some solid stuff on here.
That's the worst.
Like
thing
I said,
about
if the whole album was just the first two tracks, this would be a 10 out of 10. Because those songs.
I didn't think Majesty was that good.
I love
Majesty
well,
Grow on Me. Majesty Grow on Me was successive. Listen.
Well, what I love the most about this album is the beats, and that's when I like lyric. We'll talk about lyrics in a minute. We're
right.
getting more in depth, but the music, the first three tracks, those beats are pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean,
Ganja Burn, Majesty,
Barbie Dreams. Barbie Dreams is one of the best songs in the album.
It is the best,
and
song
it's funny
on the
because
album.
It takes. But that's the thing. It's the best song on the album because it uses an old Notorious B.I.G. beat.
But her lyrics of her
and
just
I agree. It is the best
most
song
clever
on the album.
I don't think it's
or
the best track.
Maybe top three.
I don't think it's the best track because she has the big beat, though. I think Nicki does have charisma to be
oh,
able
yeah.
to deliver these lines and have them be as funny as they are.
Right.
I laughed out loud at the Drake line.
Oh,
the
Young
line.
Thug line is my favorite. That's
oh.
so
funny. You know. And I think that Barbie Dreams kind of proves that if you have a good, hard-hitting beat, and you just give Nicki free rein to write some clever lyrics and
just
rap,
fun.
Then she's good. But
she's,
if you try to turn this, the laughable attempts at hooks on some of these tracks.
Nicki needs
terrible.
To get a Tinder.
I
don't, like, she, I don't know what her problem is. She just cannot get satisfied. She, half the songs are, he can't please me. Or, he pleases me, but only because I force him to.
Well, that's more of an empowerment thing.
Yeah.
Like, no
I know,
man
but,
can conquer this,
but
you
if
know.
If all you're going to do is sing about that, then, like,
there,
trim it.
There
trim
is
it.
A particular line on this album that is kind of like that, that I actually like. It's on a song I dislike, Chun Sway, or Swa.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know.
It really doesn't matter.
Here's the line, though. I wrote it down in my notes. I'm bitchy, yeah, really bitchy, I thought that line is actually kind of hilarious.
Or
just how simple, so simple.
I like the I do like the little like
it's very tongue in cheek.
Her quirkiness works. I think
yeah.
like, the characters she always dips into are
oh,
very
yeah.
entertaining.
Until
think,
she does that stupid ass Nicki screech, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Really,
I'm okay
of,
with it.
You,
I'm
the,
okay with the
I
screech.
Like the bit,
really,
the
yeah.
end of
I think that's insufferable.
Personality.
The end of Rich
so
Sex.
If I played that screech at the end of Anaconda on loop, you wouldn't mind it one bit, and
well,
you know what I'm talking about.
Well, you're completely
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
You completely changed the context. Now you're playing it on loop. It's just it's like the outro of Rich Sex. It's like I like that cackle.
That's my
you know.
That's the worst song.
I like the cackle.
That's
I
the
like
worst
the
song.
Rich Sex
because
actually.
That's the character that's the persona that I think works on this album is the like super you know confident.
Oh, I'm not knocking her confidence.
Right, what I'm saying is that's
it's
that's
just
the character.
It just gets stale after a while.
What I'm saying is when she tries to do anything with like emotion or like any song that's slower, really.
And yeah,
just
we have
falls
another album that's
stop
rapping about the same old typical rap. I'm rich, you're not. I'm
yeah.
better than you.
If you're gonna criticize the Nicki for staying in her lyrical wheelhouse, I mean, what'd you expect from this album? If you can't,
I don't
like
know,
the lyrics
like
are very
something bad. Different. I don't know. Yeah.
Nicki Minaj has never provided anything of substance lyrically, and like going forward, it's always these you know these like punchy verses, very catchy, very super personality driven by her characters or like her quirks.
Maybe for the first half of this album, but the second half of this album, she just slows down.
I disagree. Now, just to name my favorite songs on this thing, to the best part of this album, I thought the first half was honestly the worst half. It had my least favorite track.
Really?
Yeah, I hated Rich.
I love the first two tracks.
I absolutely hated Rich Sex.
Oh man, I knew Rich Sex was gonna get ripped.
That horrible
I was listening to the songs. Like, I really like this song. Bet they're gonna hate this song.
Okay, Hard White I didn't like.
Oh, I didn't like that one.
Bed
either.
I thought was meh. Thought I Knew You was my least favorite song on the album. I hate The Weeknd just with a passion. It's just so boring. It's just... Even Rich Sex had a better beat than Thought I Knew You.
What are they even talking about? What are you talking about?
Chun Sway's terrible, but when the album gets good, it's a three-track run, starting with Chun-Li.
Three-track?
That's the magic number for this album.
Chun-Li into LLC into Good Form. Those are three good tracks right in a row. And Chun-Li, I would even say, is like a very strong track, like a 7 out of 10. Like
that's a good brag rap.
Very
track.
Good. Song.
I don't hate brag rap.
It's because she's got it's those horns that are hard panned and the boom bap kind of inflected thing instead of the you know, I'm not nagging on trap, but I'm saying that this boom bap sort of style beat does her much more favors than any of the trap kind of stuff here, except for maybe Good Form, which is pretty much like a trap banger, and it's her playing to her strengths and it works. You know, I would listen to like an EP if she took songs in this style and only those, but she tries, you know, a ballad with Come See About Me, which wasn't, you know, horrible, but it doesn't stand out.
I actually like that track.
You know, Sir, which I hate Future.
Future has one good song, and that's it.
I saw the Future feature. I was like, it's going to be a rough one for them.
Kicking off, speaking of Future, let's talk more about the features. Jacob, what was your problem? Because my two favorite features were Eminem and Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Ariana Grande simply because she's just singing.
Yeah.
And she's a good singer. My girlfriend, her favorite artist is Ariana Grande. So hearing Ariana Grande sing, I've Got a Bed With Your Name On It, makes me think of my girlfriend. That just makes me happy. Eminem came in and was like, so I was like, he must have said some good. I'm really not. I don't want to take the time to listen.
Didn't
that
like
feature
it.
Absolutely ruined Matt.
Really,
his intro,
yeah.
Insufferable.
I agree.
This reverb over this.
I will say that I'm like, that's Eminem. Doesn't sound anything like it.
I was really.
I don't know whose idea that was. But that was pretty bad.
I love the sharp contrast between the plinky pianos on the chorus and then this like this unapologetic.
I love that. That's what I'm saying. The beats on this album are pretty solid. That sample, the Mrs. Mudge, that was awesome. I really like
but
that.
But then Eminem, oh my goodness.
Yeah, a perfect example of all style and no substance.
If you were going to get after Nicki Minaj for no substance, Eminem has not said anything relevant in years. And if
true.
He is, and if he is, he's saying...
God hope none of us picks his latest album, because
so,
I don't want to
like,
listen to that crap.
He can rap fast. That's literally what he's saying on that track. The only thing he's saying is, look at me, I can rap fast. Why should we care? We've heard it for over a decade now.
That's
we know.
That's what I'm saying about Nicki Minaj. Like, I'm good at sex and no one can please me. We get it! Let's talk about something else!
But if she can take that idea and that kind of content and do it well, which she does a couple times on here, then that isn't really an issue for me. It's just she does it poorly a lot.
Someone should have come in and just trimmed this album and it would have been so much better.
I don't know, but we've seen a lot of long... hour and a half pop albums, which is very new.
Now, if we're going to talk more in depth in lyrics, there's so much instances on this album of rhyming the one word with the same word. I heard it through this entire album where she would rhyme one word with the same word and not do that thing where it's like the young thug line I talked about. Used to f*** the young thug, I ain't addressing this shit. Caught him in my dressing room stealing dresses and shit. That's fine.
Yeah.
Technically, she rhymes with shit, but it's the line beforehand that rhymes differently. That's fine.
I think my least favorite lyric on this album, or maybe not my least favorite, but
Mom's
one I wrote down,
Lil Wayne.
Is on Rich Sex.
I'm so excited.
I like money more than that's a fact. You think is everything? Well, let's have a chat.
What are you talking about?
God.
That moment's pretty
and
weird.
I like I said I like the I'm bitchy line, okay? That like that there's a difference between those two lines. One of them is tongue in cheek and like yeah, just kind of playful. The other one is trying to rhyme fact and chat and not very well.
Would you It's fine. It's a clear. What'd you do? It's a clear soda. I spilled.
Whoa! You just spilled soda on my
car. Yeah, it's fine. I'm using my shirt.
Brian just spilled some cream soda on Jacob's car.
I didn't want to interrupt. I thought we were having a good discussion. I put my shirt on.
We were, and then you.
You know what? Things. No, no. I'm glad we're in discussion because this is a hell of a lot more interesting than this freaking album. I cannot stand this album.
I thought this album was okay.
I was so bored.
My biggest complaint is it's boring and it's packed with a lot of filler. I think the good songs that are good are really enjoyable, and there are a few great moments on here. Personally,
absolutely.
I think the refrain on Ganja Burns is really good.
I think Ganja Burns, besides Barbie Dreams, is my favorite song. Quick, gets to the point, it's catchy, great beat, wonderful chorus. Like
it made me excited.
The album
for the
starts
album.
Strong, and
yeah. It made me think, hey, maybe I'm going to like this album. And then, well.
By the end of the album, I'm ready to not hear it, but Come See Me sometime. I thought that was, Come and See Me. I actually think it's a pretty good track.
I think it doesn't do anything different than a million other songs.
It's mostly a vibe. It's not even, as far as the singing song, I enjoyed it. It's not something I'm going to come back to. I just wanted to shout it out because I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
The worst song, I couldn't pick a worse song on here. I would default to the Sway Lee one. There's just so much for
Thought people. I Knew You. Thought I Knew You.
There's rich sex. Song. Rich sex.
That's a close second, probably.
All right.
Sway Lee, at least.
Do you like Rich Sex?
I like Rich Sex. I'm not even kidding.
Give me five good reasons why that's a good song.
So probably for the wrong
reasons. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Probably for the wrong reasons. So I think Nicki's verses are actually okay on here. I just like the sexy vibe of this track. And I like the chorus. Like the refrain is pretty earworm too. And the way that she raps through it. This Wayne verse is awesome.
Okay. It's terrible.
For the wrong reasons. What he's saying, it's completely comedic to me. From the first line on, I love as he raps. It sounds like he's like leaving in a helicopter.
It sounds like
he's being pulled away.
Like he's drowning in a bathtub.
Little Wayne recently sounds like he's going to pass out.
I mean, he sounds so uninterested in what he's saying.
And it's probably part of Young Money. Nigga's probably like, yo, Lil Wayne, it's time for your, like,
yeah.
You have to do your feature, like, you're obligated to, and he's like, oh man, I'm trying to sleep, why I gotta do this?
I just thought it was funny, and I don't know what happened in that booth, but it was fantastic for me. I enjoy every second. I smile every time it comes on, because I know how ridiculous
it's
gonna be.
Ryan, you poor, unfortunate soul.
I mean, the best song on this thing is Barbie Dreams, that's absolutely
I would say so.
It's no
yeah.
contest, there's some really clever lines on there, and they make me laugh, like, it's a genuinely funny song. I hate the transition at the end. Cannot stand that transition at the end of the track.
That put a bad taste
every
on
time
that
it
too.
Comes on.
Yeah, I wrote here the beat switch is just okay. I wish the track ended at 3:30 instead of going on for another minute.
It ends with a whimper because I think it's a bad.
Yeah,
I think the like for me it comes right before Rich Sex, a great song. And so I think the beat switch when it comes.
Screw you, Brian.
Please stop.
The beat switch when it happens, I think it's a bad fourth track. I'm like, oh, this is that track I don't want to hear, and I pull my phone out to skip, and
it's still
the same
Barbie
song,
Dreams,
and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, that's really disappointing. This album is. Too long, it's bloated, there's a lot of filler. I think what's on here that is good, I actually really enjoy. I enjoy Nicki's style, that probably has a lot to do with my rating. And I think the song, I think she is a capable singer and a very good rapper. This thing's like a 6 for me.
Okay.
It's okay. There are moments on here that I think are really great. And it doesn't bother me that much to listen all the way through, admittedly. But I am skipping a lot of these tracks.
I will have to go with a 4 out of 10, I would say, overall. There are two songs in here that I think are very, very solid 7s. Barbie Dreams and Chun-Li. Nothing here I love, which would be like an 8. And a lot of just like 2 through 5 filler. However, there's stuff here that's good enough to where even though I dislike the album as a whole, I don't hate it. You know, it actually exceeded my expectations.
Well, for me...
You're gonna love our next one, then.
I didn't like this album. And I've never even been a Nicki fan. I'm Warren Bryan. Better features. And even then, sometimes that's pretty trash. Too long. Too much filler. Only good songs of the first 3. 4 out of 10. Great production. Great beats. Trash lyrics. I hated this album. And I never want to listen to it again.
Wow.
It's the beats. If the beats were trash, it'd be like a 2. I would not stand this album, but... The B word, whoever did
it. Tolerable.
Shout out to you. Yeah.
Let's end on a high note.
All right, our final album, and it was my pick. It's I Get Wet by Andrew W.K. Andrew Federley Wilkes Cryer, hope I'm pronouncing it right, also known as Andrew W.K., most known for his music, he's an actor. He's done. He did a Cartoon Network show, Destroy the Destroy,
and
which I actually watched growing up.
He's been in a video game. You know a video game?
What video game?
Backyard Wrestling 2. There Goes the Neighborhood. He was in that game.
He was also in Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is how I got to know him. I saw him. I was like, who the heck is that? And here we are. He started out late 90s, worked with a bunch of underground bands, and then he moved to New York and recorded his debut, which is what we're about to discuss. This album means a lot to me. I was telling Jacob that this album, this music embodies me as a music lover. Like, if I could describe myself as a person, I would play this album.
Wow.
I love this album. Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, Brian, you want to start us off?
Yeah, this album's great. My God, this album is really good. It's really catchy. It's super motivational.
Yes, yeah.
It's cohesive. The only thing I would really criticize, maybe, is that it's pretty one-dimensional. It's going to do the same thing throughout.
And you know, I agree.
Oh my God, this album's really good.
But I will, kicking off that, let's start there. That's a good place to start. Yes, a lot of the tracks sound the same, but when you really listen to them, you don't care. Because
yeah.
It's that whatever they're repeating is good. It's
kind
good
of the point.
Formula.
The point of this album is...
it's just fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. Yes.
And there's been a lot of music. And I'd say, like, a lot of music from, you know, when popular music started becoming recorded that has themes of not caring,
just
partying, having fun, not worrying. But I do think that there are few artists that manage to convey that idea in a way that is as, I guess,
fun.
Confident and as well as Andrew WK does on this album.
The energy on this album. You guys, after this podcast, go watch his performance of the song I Get Wet, which I will talk about later. Like, I don't want to kick off with one of my favorite things about this album. Go watch his SNL performance of this song. Oh my God.
Just to describe the sound here, because I don't think we have very much.
In 2001, for an album to come like this, like, I kind of already mentioned ahead of its time. I don't want to repeat that a lot, but this album's ahead of its time.
Yeah, it's like
nothing
metal pop, like hard rock with a heavy dose of, like, 80s heavy metal and punk rock.
There's elements with synth work.
Good synth and like keyboard work.
There's
and
that's because Andrew too that really propel the album forward. Like
yeah.
There's, you know,
that's because Andrew WK is like, I think, classically trained in piano. So
yeah,
like,
he was playing piano since he was 4 years old.
He knows how to compose a song. Like, the composition on this album is pretty stellar.
But just to give an idea to anyone who may not have heard this album, what it sounds like, I read on the Wikipedia page that apparently, in order to make the album cover, which is just a picture of...
Can I tell a story?
Yes, go for it, Chance.
To create this album cover, and Brian, I know you love this album cover.
Yeah, this thing's great.
This is so hardcore. Andrew WK took a brick and smashed his nose with it to make it bleed. But apparently, that wasn't enough blood. So they took blood from, like, an animal and just smeared it on his face. Like, how dedicated... to your work.
I just wrote in my notes, apparently he hit himself in the face with a brick for the cover. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. I like this cover.
But yeah,
this,
like, talking about
more.
The sound, there's not been an artist or an album with a sound like this before when this album came out and since then. Andrew WK, like, has something here that is just yet to be duplicated, as far as I know.
I disagree. I think people have made albums that sound like this, but most of the time it's pop-punk garbage. It's mostly recycled, faux, motivational.
Yeah. There's
courses.
A lot. I mean, I was very apprehensive going into this because it's definitely not a sound that I am very familiar with or enjoy when I do listen to it. But eventually it won me over because, like you said, the songwriting is good. It's consistently good throughout
it's
the album.
It's catchy. It's just fun.
It's very catchy. It's
so
very fun.
Fun.
And honestly, the lyrics, even though, like... I've heard him described as so dumb it's smart.
You don't come for Andrew WK for lyrics.
It's a philosophy statement, to
yes.
be honest. Like, it's not something that you read too deep into. He's
over
basically
the time,
just trying to motivate you.
Andrew WK's lyrical ability has definitely improved over time. But for a debut like this, that so dumb it's smart, I totally get that.
And like I wrote here, he you know, basically on some of these songs, he's writing, like, Ready to Die. The point is basically just YOLO.
Yes.
Which,
yes.
But it's like
it's,
one
it's
of the
saying
most,
YOLO without sounding so stupid.
Right. It's one of the most, like, agreeable, like relatable ways to make that point that I've ever heard. Really, it's interesting. Like, again, like, this album succeeds in spite of itself.
Yes.
That's
honestly the
brilliant.
Best lyric in the whole album is from She's Beautiful. Is you're everything I got, you beautiful girl, the only thing I live for in the whole wide world. Like that's it. Like that's the best lyric in the
I
whole album.
I think my favorite song lyrically is the title track because he's basically saying like, yeah, you can criticize me for making this kind of stuff. You can criticize me for succeeding in this way. But yeah, keep trying to succeed in your way because I already made it. He gets wet, I wrote down. He gets wet already. Mm-hmm. So you can criticize him all you want, but he's made it. What are you doing to truly succeed?
I Get Wet is one of my favorite songs of all time. You know how people are like, this band got me through this time of my life. This song got me through middle school. When I first heard this song, I listened to it on repeat. I still do. The energy on this song, oh my God, where do I begin? That subtle, like, I guess, I think it's girl singing? It's so subtly back there. Where,
well, it's because the whole album is like brick wall.
Yeah. Yeah. But
it works.
The synth, the production, the drumming, like, every song I could just headbang to.
Right.
It's amazing.
I adore this album. This album is pretty great. There are so many catchy hooks, like catchy choruses on this thing. The music is so driving and forward. The energy does not stop at any point on the record. Like, there is no break for you. And from the title or the intro track is a great opening.
I said it's a mission statement for the album.
Yes, 40-second, here we go,
and
hold
then,
on tight, we are not stopping.
Then that drop and Party Hard hits, and you're flying.
Party Hard is my favorite song in the album.
Party Hard is absolutely amazing. This refrain that
should
be annoying.
That's the lead single off the album for a reason. It's killer.
This album is irresistible energy. Like, absolutely. The only
it's
song
charming.
I didn't... The
it's
only
not
song.
Annoying. Like,
yeah.
There are many band
artists well,
that...
There's one track where this annoys me, actually. The only track on this thing I don't like is Girls Own Love. I think that track's...
Really?
That's my least favorite song on the album.
My least favorite is...
Oh, I do like the lyrics. I think
the lyrics are
a satirical kind of look at the flawed nature of like being ultra masculine in
right.
order to get some. You know, it kind of it's tongue in cheek and it's satirical. I think there
really?
Are some moments on this album that
my
are
least favorite
very much
song
satire.
Is Party Till You Puke. I'll admit there are a few
yeah.
filler tracks on this album that's like that I could like do without, but I still love them. Like
because
they're so.
They keep the album going. There's so much energy
yeah.
packed into these tracks, despite them not being as good as other tracks. And
I didn't expect you guys to hate "Girls in Love." That I was.
I didn't hate it. I still like the song. I just think it's not one of my favorites.
The chorus fails to translate what the verses
yeah,
are doing.
Yeah, I don't
so
think the chorus
I,
is that
just
good.
Really,
it sounds the most 80. It sounds like. If Andrew WK did Def Leppard, that's how I would describe it.
Like,
Girls on
the most of the songs on here are, you know, in a style that has a lot of crap in it, but it transcends that through the good arrangements, the good compositions, the
yeah.
good songwriting. Girls on Love is one where the songwriting isn't as good, the chorus isn't as memorable. The song
oh, it's very memorable. I think it's annoyingly sticky.
Yeah, it doesn't stick with me.
But what I'm saying, look, there's a lot of artists that do that. Yo, we're partying, we're having a good time, screw you, man. And I hate them. It's so annoying. But then this man, dressed in white with long hair, comes in and is like, yo, I just want to have a party. And I'm like, me too.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, like, this is totally, like, not my philosophy of life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I am not a partier. I am not, like, a reckless abandon, you know, throw caution to the winds kind of guy. I'm, like, the opposite of that. But... You know, I got to give it to this album for presenting this mindset in just a very interesting way where I can look at it. I don't necessarily have to relate to it, but I can understand where he's coming
Did
from.
Did you know Andrew WK is a motivational speaker?
I do, yeah. I read
like
that
he,
on
go, he visits colleges and everything.
This,
how amazing would that be if Andrew WK spoke at our university?
This album is like if a really stubborn person, typically an annoying personality type, got through to you and you understood their philosophy. Like, this is such a, like, but in such a positive way. And you're
but that's
right
the thing, I kind of disagree. Like, I don't find Andrew WK as, like, a jerk or anything.
No.
He's so...
Well, he calls out jerks on
yeah,
this album.
He's so cool. Like, this is the kind of music I love to make, if given the opportunity.
Well, I think what Brian's trying to say is, you know... Face value, you could think he's annoying.
Yes.
But this album kind of lets you see through that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He's such... It's so optimistic and motivational. This album is just fantastic. Just a few tracks on here. Easily You know, Ready to Die is awesome.
Oh, that, I like that one a lot.
Party Hard, Ready to Die, She's Beautiful, actually, I Get Wet, that's good stuff.
Party Hard is amazing. Gotta Do It is an awesome track. That is such
I didn't
a
think
good...
That was like my least favorite song.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can see why. I really like it.
It sounds like the Who's Baba O'Reilly. That's my
that's
first
a wonderful song.
I actually really like
it. You don't
the
like
intro.
Baba O'Reilly?
No, that was just... That's not really even a criticism, and I'm not accusing him of, like, musical plagiarism, but that was just a thought I had. I was like, this guitar hook sounds like Bob O'Reilly.
The track is really cheesy, but I think it works.
Can we talk
advantage.
About how that drop in Party Hard never gets old? Yeah. Where it's like, when it's time to party, we will party out.
That robot voice at first I thought was really cringy. By my third or fourth listen, I was like, that's incredible.
I think my biggest criticism of this album is the ending. I don't like that. My least favorite song is...
Don't Stop Living the Red.
I like that it. Shouldn't have been the album closer. I Get Wet, the title track, is the best song in the album.
I actually love Don't Stop Living in the
I
Red.
I like it. I think it's a very good closer.
They used it in a Target commercial, guys.
I think as an end to the album, I think it maybe wouldn't work anywhere else in the album, but as a closer, like I like the message, Don't Stop Living in the Red, meaning, you know, overmodulation. They recorded it, probably they recorded the guitars in the red, like way too loud, and, you know, Don't Stop Living way too loud.
It's a blown out track. It's really good. I mean, they definitely wrote this as the closer track, given the title of it and the, you know, the general message of the track. I think I Get Wet is the best track off this.
It's the best track musically, lyrically, and just there's so many subtle things that just creep in. I think
this you song, can tell he's a pianist.
I Get Wet
because of his knack for composition.
I Get Wet has so much energy and is so catchy. It's like if you smashed a brick into your face, but the brick had cocaine and entered the womb.
Right. Well, actually, this album, from reading on the Wikipedia page again, apparently it was banned in certain places because people thought the album cover was a cocaine reference.
I actually thought it was a cocaine reference too. I actually thought it was a
no. It's just to catch your attention.
Maybe that's because I'm not.
I think it's literally obviously. Like,
it's literally
know.
Just to catch your attention. So when you see, you're like, I gotta listen to that.
Right.
Andrew WK looks like what you should look like at the end of the album if you were listening to it at a concert.
Yes,
like,
that sums it up.
That's
right
why
there.
I like the cover so much. This I Get Wet is easily my favorite song. This thing. Oh my god, I love
it. It's been
song.
My favorite song. This album. This art. Andrew WK like is one of those artists I would love to see live. Like that's like. He's one of my favorites.
It's such a simple... It's like, when we're talking about the Minutemen, they're doing these very complex things. If it's Andrew WK has accomplished what they did in sending a message that's very... Their message isn't very direct, but you can understand if you look into it. Andrew WK is like the mirror of that. Is like his message is very simple, straightforward. You don't even really need to read the lyrics of this thing to understand what he's going for, what he's trying to accomplish. But I think you get more out of it if you do. I think this album sonically is fantastic. I love the... I just love the energy throughout... This thing is like an 8. This is an 8 out of 10.
Same here. 8 out of 10.
I thought this would be higher for you.
Yeah, I actually thought you would be.
Well, for me, like, there are a few tracks that I don't really care. I'll probably skip, but...
There's nothing I skip on. Even Girls on Love, I don't really skip that song. I just don't like it that much. But I know what's coming after, so I'm like, I'll skip.
I mean, like, if I was like, I want to listen to this album, I would never skip. But just like on a casual listen, probably skip a few. And lyrically, I think you could do better. And again, if you listen to his other stuff... He gets better with his lyrics and sending that message. This is a childhood favorite. Like, it's one of my favorite albums of all time.
I'm
going to
go with a 7. I don't love it, but I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. I really enjoy this album. I think it's very good. There's one song in here that I'd say I just straight up love, and that's Party Hard. You got to understand that this is...
This goes against your entire principle.
Super, super far out of my comfort zone musically, even though it's like really poppy and accessible. I didn't really grow up with a lot of music like this. I wasn't into any stuff like this in like middle school and high school. So this is just out of my comfort zone. But the more I listened to it, the more I enjoyed it. I don't know, you know, maybe with a few more listens if it ever clicked and hit me emotionally. But for an album, for me to really love an album, I kind of have to connect with it emotionally. And it's so far removed from me that I don't know if I ever will, but I do think it's very strong. It's one of the best albums I've heard in its style, for sure. Like 100% one of the best albums I've heard in the style it does.
I think it created that style.
Yeah,
I've never, Brian, you kind of mentioned this, but I don't think I've ever heard anything sound quite like this before.
I think he's pioneered a sound that's since been hollowed out.
Yes.
Lost a lot of the authenticity that this album presents it with.
I agree. It's very early 2000s.
Yes.
Extremely early 2000s.
I wish I had heard this, though, instead of the garbage I was listening to. Because I disagree. I think there's a lot that sounds like this in the modern day and has been influenced by this, but it just reeks of, you know, they're posers.
Absolutely. None of them will smash a brick in their nose, I guarantee.
It's not even about that. It's an inauthentic energy that this album has in strides. Like, this album could do laps around all
You guys gotta watch the live performances of some of these songs.
Well, I'm probably just gonna check out more of his work. Especially, I mean, he had an album come out this year.
This year, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes.
So do you want to talk about the albums that we have lined up for the next podcast?
Yes. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Unwarranted Music Opinion. Hope you enjoyed. We're going to have our first themed episode. Our plan is to have a regular episode, themed episode, and in that pattern. First themed episode is weird albums. We've each picked an album that is just, we think, weird as hell. At the end of each discussion, we will rate the album on a 10 out of 10 on the weird scale and music scale. So an album might have like a 5 out of 10 musically, but weirdly, 10 out of 10. So stay tuned. Guys, go around and tell the album that you've picked.
Okay, I've chosen the 1981 experimental post-punk record Deceit by the band This Heat. It's an album that is almost infamous and legendary in what it did, but I won't talk about it too much more now. We'll wait for the podcast.
My pick is going to be from the, you know, notorious experimental hip-hop group Death Grips. I was listening to the first record from their double LP, The Powers That Be. I can't talk about it, but yeah.
I picked an album by one of my favorite artists, Buckethead. The album is Buckethead Land 2. It's a sequel to his debut, Buckethead Land, and builds upon the lore of something very interesting, which I will digress into the next episode.
All right, well, that was Unwarranted Music Opinions. Recorded on crappy laptop speakers in Audacity. We're all sitting around here. This is pretty lo-fi, but we really, I think, enjoyed the conversation.
We hope you did, too.
We didn't hold ourselves back in any way, which is what we were going for. So tune in again, or we'll talk about weird albums and continue to move forward with the discussion.